Showed me to go. This life flies slow. So just stay around a while and become as a little child. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way. Showed me to go. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way, oh, that satisfies my soul. So just stay around a while and become as a little child. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way that satisfies my soul. So just stay around a while and become as a little child. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way, yes, that satisfies my soul. So just stay around a while and become as a little child. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way, oh, that satisfies my soul. So just stay around a while and become as a little child. This is the way, yes, the Lord showed me to go. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way that satisfies my soul. So just stay around a while and become as a little child. This is the way the Lord showed me to go.
The Lord. Well, this is the way the Lord showed me to go. And I'm thankful that I'm still here. I'm thankful that God's grace has been extended to me and to my family, and that He made a way. And Jesus said that if any man come up another way, he's a thief and a robber. And so I know that tonight I'm not a thief or a robber in that sense, because the Lord called me. And so I'm glad. I'm glad He reached down His hand and touched my mind. I'll reflecting just a minute on the doctrine of the devil. We're just home folks tonight. I don't see any visitors. And I can remember, you know, as a young person struggling, as young people do, well, as anybody does, with the flesh, the temptations of the flesh, and reading a scripture, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. And it just clicked with me. It just opened my mind to the fact that I've got a spirit. There's something inside of me that I've got to get control over. And when I read that verse, growing up in religion like I did, you know, I always heard about the devil, the big devil, and, you know, his pitchfork and tail, and, you know, red jumpsuit and the whole nine yards, and grew up, you know, scared of the boogeyman, afraid to go outside, all that stuff. And now I'm not afraid to go outside as long as Gladys goes with me. I'm okay. So. But I read that verse, and it was like a door opened for me. And I realized that what I grew up learning wasn't bad, but it wasn't complete. And I realized that there was things that this people had for me that I didn't have. And I was a young person. I thank God that I was. I'm glad that my mind was not distracted or cluttered with the cares of life as much, and God was able to touch my mind and help me understand a few things. Give me a good foundation. Now, I'll always say that I got a good foundation in the Baptist Church. In fact, I had a really good understanding of Bible stories, Jesus Christ being my personal Savior. I had a really good understanding of what He was to be to me as far as a friend in my life and a worker in my life, my Savior, my hope, my all in all. But then I heard about the Holy Ghost when I met this people. I heard about perfection, overcoming your spirit. I heard about the message of charity. And there was just, it was just like I took what I had, the good that I had found, and the Lord gave me more. And that's our calling, is for us to continue to seek for the good. We're looking for that treasure. Sometimes I think that I found it. I found that treasure. But I realize I haven't sold everything that I have. So I still haven't paid the price for that treasure just yet. I'm still selling out, if you will. I'm still trying to give things up so I can afford to buy that pearl of great price. But I was thinking just here tonight, Sister Cindy Smith was singing that song, "This is the way the Lord showed me to go." I was thinking about Jesus. He put his disciples in a boat, and he sent them on their way in the fourth chapter of Mark. And this has been on my mind the last few days. I've been looking at a couple words. One of them's been the word calm, and the other one's been the word tempest. And those two words are not really used often in the scripture. In fact, from what I've seen, the word calm usually is associated with the word tempest. And tempest means a storm at sea. And so here in the fourth chapter of Mark, Jesus, he sent his disciples. Well, he was with his disciples in the 35th verse of Mark 4. So the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and they were also with him, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, in the 37th verse of Mark 4, and waves and beat into the ship, so that it was now full. So, you know, I can just see them guys wondering, you know, if they've got pots and buckets and, you know, their boats filling up, not just being tossed about, but now their boat is filling up with water. And it said the waves and the wind beat against the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And of course, we've heard great messages along those lines of, you know, if Jesus is in your ship asleep, wake him up. You know, we've all heard those good, strong messages along those lines about waking up Jesus in your life. And said he was asleep on a pillow, and they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? Now, what occurred to me tonight as I was girding my mind up for the service is that it's quite possible Jesus knew they were going right into the middle of a storm. It's quite possible that he knew that they were going right into the middle of a tempest, if you will, a violent storm. And he led them there. And, to me, that's probably one of the most difficult things for me personally as a Christian is to walk this walk even in the midst of turmoil. And I guess I reflect, you know, sometimes I know people that have lost their way, for lack of a better way to put it, in the midst of turmoil. And you know, me, I'm a real determined person. I get my mind set on doing something, and if I think it's the right thing to do, then that's how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do my best to see that it gets done. But sometimes you get, you know, like I said, I think last week, sometimes you get to a point where you're so frustrated, you're so bewildered with the circumstance that, you know, we've all done this probably in our life, or at least I have at times. You just throw your hands up and say, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm completely, I have no hope. This situation is hopeless. And, you know, of course, you know, that's a good time to wake up the Lord in your life and to humble yourself and find his solution, to find his answer. But here they woke him up. Whether or not he knew they were going into a violent storm, I don't know. But he pointed them that way. And I guess the thing that I rely upon the most is the fact that he didn't leave them. He didn't say, all right, y'all go on and you face this giant and come back and tell me how you did. He didn't do that. He didn't say, y'all cross on over to the other side and deal with this storm and let me know how it works out for you. He was right there with them. Yeah. He wasn't taking an active part, obviously. He was asleep, says, you know, with his head on a pillow. But he didn't forsake them. And I guess I draw great comfort in that, Brother Talley. I know that no matter what the circumstance, he's with me. Yeah. Gladys and I were up in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, visiting my sister, and we were coming home as a Memorial weekend, and I guess it's I-44 was busy up around Springfield, and it was raining, and the road was the road was pitiful, and there's water, pockets of water everywhere, and we hydroplaned. I went to change lanes from the right-hand lane to the left-hand lane about 50 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, and lost complete control of my vehicle, turned sideways on the interstate and was headed right across the median into the oncoming traffic. 18-wheeler was bearing down on us, and there wasn't one thing I could do. I couldn't stop the vehicle. I couldn't steer it. There wasn't anything. All I could do was hold on. And that's exactly what I told Gladys. I said, hold on, we're going to hit. And it was like God just parted the waters. I mean, it was two lanes of traffic headed right at us. And you know, if this was our vehicle, they just went like that around us. It was amazing. And we hit an 18-wheeler. We hit the dual wheels of his trailer. It's probably the safest place to hit an 18-wheeler, I've thought, since this happened, because when we hit him, we hit his tires, We bounced backwards, and he kept on going. If we had been a little sooner, he would have drug us. If we had been a little behind, we would have hit that tail bumper on his trailer. There's no telling the damage that would have been done to us. But we hit that truck, and then a Ford pickup was on this side, and we bounced into his bed, and his bed was empty. And his bed just collapsed. It's like God just made a pocket for us and just brought us right to a stop. It's unbelievable. We were straddling both lanes of I-44, and everybody just sat down. I mean, all the traffic just stopped except one cattle truck, and he took the median. He went through the median up on the other side, the shoulder, back down, and he just kept on going. Never even stopped. Well, the thing is we had been standing. Gladys and the girls were standing right there on that shoulder near the median where he went through just a few seconds before that. He came up over a hill, and he was going so fast he couldn't slow down. It was amazing. God just, he just protected us. And, of course, you know, I reflect back on that moment often, as I just did. And I remind myself that there is not any problem, there's not any aggravation that I've got right now that God cannot take me through. And because by rights, we should have been, you know, probably dead. I mean, how many people, you know, hit an 18-wheeler and live to talk about it at 50 miles an hour head on? We did. And you know, I'm here to tell you the story. So I know that God protected us. And I believe, and so there's times in my life that I reflect back on that. I came through that tempest, if you will. I came through that storm, and God brought a peace to us that only He can bring. And so here are these disciples. They got scared, and they woke Him up. And they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, we're going to die. Aren't you even the least bit worried that we're going to die? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now that is priceless. That word, calm, in my estimation, is an amazing event. When God can bring calmness to a situation to where you're at peace with it, then you are a blessed individual. That's the way I see that scripture right there. And he said that, and he reminded them, he said, there was a great calm, and he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And of course, then it said they feared exceedingly, and said, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I guess, to me, my word for you tonight is calm. Whatever the circumstance or the trial or test that you may be going through, God is, he's right there. Jesus is right there with you. And if you'll stir him up, you know, he'll bring a calmness. He can bring a calmness regardless. And, you know, I've been with people at their bedside as they're passing on, and I've actually seen a few people, you know, eyes set in their head and come back again. And I've been in a few circumstances where it was unbelievable turmoil. But I can tell you this, for me personally, my faith tonight, regardless of circumstance, as long as I get myself out of the way, as long as I put my fears aside, my faith tonight is that Jesus is always there with me. The Bible says that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He told his disciples, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you always, even to the end. We have a wonderful Savior tonight. Amen. We're a blessed individual tonight to know that Jesus Christ is with us regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the trial, regardless of the test, whatever may come our way. Jesus Christ is our greatest hope, our greatest friend, our greatest advocate, our greatest ally. Thank God. He's the healer of our body. He's the healer of our soul. Hallelujah. He has the answers. He is the answer tonight. Praise God. So be encouraged tonight in the Lord. This is the way the Lord showed me to go.
Appreciate that message testimony Brother Painter just gave us. I thought that after the turmoil that he went through and things are, he didn't say it was turmoil, that was my words, but you know, what a testimony. You know, he could have said, Lord, what'd you make me have a wreck for? You know, you could have went on the negative side of things. But the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Yes. And that means you see God in the situations that, you know, they're most time adverse to us, you know. And I thought, Brother Painter used that word calm. You know, calm. I thought, you know, if we're not fearful and afraid and we believe, and we can get to that, God will allow us to have that in our lives. You know, Revelation talks about a sea of glass. You know, that's a calm in it. And I thought, well, that's where we want to be. We want to be part of that sea of glass. There's just no ripples in it. You know, nothing. You know, as Brother Linger used to say, blessed are the flexible. They won't be getting out of shape, you know. But I appreciate what I heard here. Yes. I like hearing that. You know, that's uplifting. It shows a growth, doesn't it? A growth, you know. Hey, you know. I didn't get up and sing the blues to us, or, you know, just, hey, we're victorious. I like that. Thank you, Brother Painter. I like that. It makes me want to get up and give the Lord praise, you know. Talk about God, talk about Jesus, and talk about the great I am. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the resurrection. He's there for us. I believe it, you know. This way, Jesus said, I am the way. And we're in that way where we seek truth, don't we? I don't know about y'all, but I'm not settled for just, as they say, grandma's religion, you know. That was good, wasn't it? Grandma's religion was great. But we want to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And, you know, how's that scripture go? Shineth more and more to a perfect day. I can't even think of the scripture right now. Path of the just is as a shining light. It shineth more and more to a perfect day. Well, this is something we look forward to. And I want to see more. I don't mean to pick on Brother Painter. I asked him, how you doing? Well, I'm doing better. You know. I thought, well, that's true. You know, that's true. We're doing better. And I'm thankful to be here tonight. I thank God for all you people and the testimonies that encourage us, that, you know, there's nothing wrong with a good message, you know, and, you know, I, that we want to hear, but we can talk about revelations or, and I'm, I appreciate the teachings we get on that, and or baptisms or laying on of hands or, you know, resurrections, eternal judgments. You know, a lot of good things to talk about. But when I hear the testimonies of people, that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? How I am, what they're saying is, I am an overcomer. I'm going on with God, and I'm thankful to be here.
Sang this song before, but I used to have a tape had it on it, sing along with it. Oh, it's on. Praise God. And I'm going to read the words off my phone. So. When your heart is broken up with grief or trouble, you do not have to bear it all alone. For you have a friend who knows about your struggles, and he is standing there when all other friends are gone. He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Take your broken heart and make you whole. When the storm of your life grow dark and cold, he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Deep in each and every heart there is a longing to find happiness and oh, such peace of mind. When your heart is weary of all the searching, just turn to Jesus, and I know that you will find. He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Take your broken hearts and make it whole. When the storms of your life grow dark and cold, he will calm the troubled waters of your life grow dark and cold, will calm the troubled waters of your soul. He will calm the troubled soul. Take your broken heart and make you whole. When the storms of your life grow dark and cold, He will calm the troubled waters of heart is broken up with grief or trouble. You do not have to bear it all alone, for you have a friend who knows about your struggles, and He is standing when all your friends have gone. Oh, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Take your broken heart and make it whole. When the storms of your life grow dark and cold, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Take your broken heart and make it whole. When the storms of your life grow dark and cold, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Oh, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Take your
very true, Brother Mike. I appreciate your good song. And matter of fact, only Jesus can calm our troubled waters of our soul. And I'm finding that He really can. And I'm so thankful to hear these good words. Brother Painter started it out, showing us that we'll lean on the Lord, and if we need to, wake Him up. If we're not keeping Him alive in our life, then awake in our life, then we'll do whatever is necessary to get Jesus on board. So I'm just so thankful to be reminded and listen to Him give His testimony about the hydroplaning and that happened to me a couple of times, and the first time I didn't know what had happened, as far as I didn't know about hydroplaning, but I ended up off the road in the medium and facing oncoming traffic like he was talking about, and I too looked up and two lanes of traffic were coming, and I somehow got through them, and I was not even in church at the time. And I bounced off the rail, guard rail on the other side of the road, and hit one car on the fender, but I didn't have a lot of damage, and I'm very thankful. I don't know how thankful, I can't remember how thankful I was that day that happened. I was on my way to work, and I hadn't been in Little Rock long, just a few months, and wasn't used to all that traffic. But anyway, what they thought it was motor mounts that come loose, but today I think it was hydroplaning. But anyway, it happened, whether it was motor mounts or hydroplaning. But and then another time I was in church, and I had family reunion time again. I was on my way back from a family reunion and a little pickup that, not the one I'm driving now, but another one I had that I was trying to make it back for church that Saturday night, and I had just previously had some boys in the back of it. I brought them from the park we was at and dropped them off at home, and I was on the freeway trying to get back to Little Rock, and it was late. It was like church at 7:30, and it was around 5 or 6 o'clock, and so I was trying to make the best of my time, but it was raining. And I passed like he did, passed from the right to the left-hand lane, passing this car, truck, or something. And I started fishtailing. Ended up going sideways down in the medium and looking up to oncoming traffic again. But this time it was raining, so it was water in the ditch. So when I hit the ditch going sideways, that water slowed me down, so I just went up on the next side and didn't go all the way up. I just went up, and the truck came back in the ditch, so I didn't hit anybody. Then I was stuck. The truck was still running. No, I think it may have standing still, so I think it probably, I probably got off the clutch and went out dead, but I started up, and I couldn't get out. And so I knew I was going to be late for church. But anyway, but God was merciful. Somebody called, the policeman came by and he called a wrecker. He didn't try to give me a ticket or nothing. But anyway, he called a wrecker, and the wrecker came, got me out. I got home about 10 o'clock at night, but I was trying to get here. And but I was aware, because we had had we have all kind of safety meetings when I was at work, the phone company, and we had one on safety, on hydroplaning. And I think I had this before this happened to me, but I do have a much greater respect for rainy weather when I'm driving than I used to. I slow down. That's the best thing to do when you're out in the rain or on a wet road, is slow down. You better off. And so anyway, my wife and I were driving one time over here on 430, and it was raining real bad. And this lady passed us. She's driving like a Ford or something, big car, and she just lost it right in front of us in the ditch. I think it probably scared her more than anything. But it's a real deal. Let me tell you what Brother Payne was talking about that. But I'm thankful that God does keep his hand on us, and I don't always you try to I like to see God in everything, but sometimes it just, you know, just the natural things, that natural life that we live in, we get ourselves in trouble. You know, I believe God can get us out of troubles, but I think sometimes he just let us, you know, we get ourselves in it. And I thank God just let us go through it. And but I do believe in calling on the Lord and trusting him and knowing. I want to know that God is is aware of our situations, and he's aware that, like Jesus, been there. He's acquainted, like Brother Daniel gave Brother Harden that scripture while he was here, that he is a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. If I quoted that right, but anyway, he know what we go through. He's been there. But I often was thinking, even before that, you know, I said, well, Jesus, why would he be acquainted with grief? Because, you know, I don't think he went through a lot of grieving over dead loved ones or anything, but I think God just put that burden of the world, of mankind, on him. He felt it, you know, without having to go through all of it. I believe he just felt that. And know that just being human, you know, in this world, you know, the things that the emotions that we have in our lives touch one way or another. I believe the Lord can help us with all of these. I've heard different numbers on how many emotions we have, but I don't have to put a number on it. But anyway, all of the emotions that we express in our life that we have that are touched by one thing or another, I believe the Lord can help us in each one of them that we encounter. And I'm just so thankful that to be in a place that we get to hear not only the gospel that tells us that the time that we live in and what the God's time frame that he have, the prophecies that we hear that let us know, you know, that, you know, maybe we can get frustrated to let us see a little bit more about what God is doing and the time frame for the world, you know, see world conditions, and also appreciate, like Brother Paul said, the testimony of the people that have been through something or even going through something. You know, that's what probably touches us most, because each one of us are going through something, or we've been through something. I appreciate when someone tell me, and they, you know, we used to quote this, I guess Brother Tucker did, you know, that we learn, you know, that a wise man learned from other people's mistakes. Of course, the average person learned from their own, and the foolish person never don't learn. So I'm going to fall in one of those categories. I know I don't always learn from other people's mistakes. I've heard things, and I had to either bump my own head and learn from myself, and I should have, you say, well, I should have known better, because somebody else had already told me what's going to happen to me if I do this. So anyway, but I believe God is letting us. I appreciate experiences. I appreciate people giving them. Because it helped, like I say, it helps me, and because everybody, you know, we have to have, and you have to have experiences. You know, something that you go through is what makes you who you are. You know, it really is. Had you not gone through that, then you probably wouldn't be the person. You know, maybe you won't measure up to what God expects you to be. You know, unless you go through. You know, I read some, you know, you read all these poems and different wordings from different places and you know, writings of different ones talking about, you know, struggles. We have to have them. You know, we have to have struggles. We have to have troubles. Of course, we're going to have. Job said that to us, that we have of a few days and full of trouble. So we're gonna have them. And the thing of it is, since we're going to have them, we want to let those trouble do some good in our life. You know, like they say about what the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. So, you know, same sun that does that. And so I look at it that way, that trouble could cause me to be more humble toward God in my life, or could cause me to be hardened, or could cause me to be bitter. So that's what troubles can do. So I know if I begin to see that, I have to understand and see that I'm going to have trouble. So why don't I try to let these trouble do me some, benefit me some kind of way, by humbling myself under God's hand, at least recognize it and be able to see that these trouble, you know, be able to see some good in it, and maybe I'll benefit. And then, and you know, like I say, when you benefit from trouble, then that helps me to hopefully, if I do right, if I'm wise, and see and realize that, you know, if I'm gonna be going that same road, then look like, you know, if I can avoid some of it. And I have avoided some trouble by remembering what someone else has said about it. So I'm just so thankful that we're in a place. One time I considered, like, church is like these groups that gather together that help one another. Of the name. Yeah. Support, yeah. That helps. They got them, you know, alcoholics and drug groups that have these groups, and they tell things that happened to them and how they maybe got through it, and the Lord is helping us. That's why we have brothers and sisters, you know, that we can relate to and be able to. I know I'm gonna have enough trouble that I learn from my own experience, but I want to be able to learn some things that I won't have to learn from my own experience. I can just listen, you know, if I'm wise, if I can let this become a part of my life, and be able to avoid as much of it as I can. But I know God is good to us, and this is. The way that he's shown us to go. And the thing about it, the next few words in that is talked about become as a little child. And I was thinking, you know, if I stay around a while and become as a little child, that in the same category of being humble. You know, we have to learn, we sometimes can't even become a, you know, you don't just become a little child. Something that has to happen to you. Sometimes it takes humiliation or whatever to get you in a child state, you know, in a child state of mind, to be able to realize that I'm a person that I got needs, and my only way I'm gonna be able to get those needs met is I'm gonna have to humble myself somehow under the mighty hand of God and be helped and get help for the things in my life that I can't fix. You know, there are things in my life that I can't fix. I may have tried to fix it, but I can't. But I know who can. So that's why I realize if I can become humble as a little child, you know, I've stayed around a while. So now, let me become humble as a little child, and so God can help me. We're in a group that people that are seeking help, you know, from God. Maybe, you know, some are further along than others, but we all need God. We all need His help, and I appreciate when I'm reminded that you know, if I can lean on the Lord more, if I can get a little bit more encouragement, because I want to go with God's people. I want to be when they say when a roll is called up there, I want to up there. I want to be there. You know, they say, Brother Tucker used to say it all the time, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, you know. But I don't want to do that. I want to be where the roll is being called. And so I want to be a part of God's people. So the things that I need to hear are to help me to remain a part of God's people, to stay. You know, sometimes it's hard to stay. It's hard to even stay put sometimes while you're going through things. So it takes some staying power to be able to, and God has to help us even with that, you know, to be able to stay put. And like Sister Joyce quotes, is it Sister Joyce? Somebody quotes this song about, not a song, but it's a poem about the potters, the potter and the clay. You know, that, you know, she tells about the one that didn't get through the process, and when it got the time to get through the fire and all, it didn't make it. But it realized that that's what made them, you know, he saw the one that did make it through the fire, how well they did and how well they looked, and it just turned out perfect and beautiful. And he said, well, it was the fire, you know, it was the fire that caused him to do that. So that's what, you know, I don't like fire, but if I can realize that that's what it's going to take, then if God's going to help me to go through it, then I'm going to try to get myself conditioned, my mind, to where I can deal with it, you know, with God's help. And that's a good part about it. You know, we're like Brother Painter said, he was with the disciples when they was in the storm. So he said he'd be with us. And I'm leaning on that. I'm trusting that the Lord will be with us. He said he would. So that's going to be my confidence and my consolation when I get worried, get weary, not sure. He's already said he'd be with us. And I want to be able to rest on that. Have that confidence in my life to know that I'm not in this alone. You know, I'm not doing this alone, but God is with me. So it makes so much, it makes the difference, and it's so much better. Like I said, we're going to have things to go through, and we're going to have these problems. So I just want to lean on the Lord. Even tonight here, I just trust and leaning on him that I know he will help us, and he is helping us. You know, you can keep putting things off and saying that he, you know, things going to be better on the other side. But things are better right now with the Lord. I find that. It's better. When I began to lean on him, began to lean on him in prayer. And I appreciate Brother Hart. And I appreciate the last weekend service we had. Brother Hart and Brother Goss was here and, you know, giving their side of their take. They mix their wine and it was a word or two that Brother Goss was mentioning that I'm losing it, but anyway, I appreciate their experiences that they have had and to help us, you know, to be able to share that with us, and I appreciate it very much. And the spirit we had last weekend, I appreciate it. I was expecting Brother Smith to be here to give us more on the meeting in the Dominican Republic, but I'm sure we'll hear that. And already heard some, but you always hear more, want to hear more, but more about what God is doing with his people. And I'm so encouraged. I it's hard to believe that I'm saying this to myself, that, you know, I've been here retired since November. And I hadn't worked a whole lot since then, but I've been occupied. I do stuff at home, and the weather's right now where you can work outside and move more. But I get occupied with the Lord. And Brother Harden reminded us. You know, I was up here with him Saturday. I believe it was Saturday. You know, we was up here meeting somebody. But anyway, but we came early and. So he kept saying, I'm talking about prayer. I said, why don't we just go a little early? And we did. And I appreciate him. You know, I appreciate the zeal that he has about wanting to get more dedicated to the Lord. And I know that God has a time frame that he work in. And, you know, we have no control over that. But, you know, but we do have control over how much we dedicate ourselves, you know, individually. We can. And that's, you know, every time I, you know, put pressure on myself, you know, about doing more in God's work, it's necessary. I mean, I know that I look back at the Old Testament, the New Testament, how God's people dealt with situations, problems, or circumstances that they were in, and how when they lean on the Lord, and most of those situations, whenever they was having some situation that they didn't understand or whatever. But I see when they leaned on the Lord, when they began to go to God in prayer, that was some good results. You know, whenever they began to, you know, whatever it was, you know, that they were having problem with. If there was a prophet, you know, like even when different ones that was began to, you know, say, is there a prophet in the land? Even when Brother Hart mentioned this about Elijah, you know, God blessed him and used him mightily, and then he had this fear come up on him, you know, about Jezebel. But you know, we have these things in our life, even though we know God blessed us the last time, But still, when something else come about, then it still caused maybe a little fear to rise in our life. But we have to trust him again. You know, we just have to keep trusting. Every time we have something that come up in our life that we can't handle, we just have to do it again. We have to trust God again. We, you know, trusting him one time may not be the end of it. You know, we might have to keep trusting him because we don't know, you know, what tomorrow may hold and what may we may be up against tomorrow. So I'm just so thankful tonight that we're here to be able to reach out to the Lord and worship and praise and lift our voices together, you know, lifting up the Lord, because that's who is worthy. He's worthy for all our praise that we can give him. So I'm thankful tonight. Thank you.
Some more time. I saw him back there just to study in his Bible. I thought, yeah, he's got a message worked up. Yeah, see, I knew it. But he does now, I bet. But I want to stand and give thanks tonight. And it seems like tonight the theme is peace. And I remember back when I was a kid, one of my earliest memories was Brother Tucker talking about the example of peace, and he showed how there was like a picture of a beautiful lake, and it was just as smooth and serene, and a mountain rising in the background, and somebody said, well, that's a symbol of peace. He said, no, that's not a symbol of peace. So that's not a picture of peace. And then somebody showed an awful storm, tearing branches out of a tree, and just lightning, thunder, and light, hail and sleet and everything. And he said, that's a picture of peace. Because inside a little hole in that tree was a bird in a nest. Was not a bit worried about what was going on outside. And that was a better picture of peace. That with everything breaking loose around, that bird was not even a bit worried. And I was sitting there thinking, everybody was talking about it. And I remember about 10, 11 years ago when that tornado went through BB and just completely decimated BB, tore it to shreds. And I remember my grandma Weiniger was praying. Didn't even know a tornado was in the vicinity. Just was in there praying. Tornado came through BB and tore. I mean, it picked up half of her house and shifted her hallway enough that she never even knew. She got up from praying. Of course, no power. Started to try to walk down the hall. Walked into a wall. Just boom. Well, then I guess she started realizing that maybe a tornado hit my house. What would you do? What would I do? Oh, I'd be running around, running outside with a flashlight, trying to figure out, what I could do. She said, well, no use worrying about it now. She went and got in bed. Went to sleep. Yeah, well, I know the master of the wind is what she said. She sang and went in there and laid down and went to bed. Of course, my cousin Mike, we were all, oh my God, Grandma's been in a tornado. So we were trying to trying to get through roadblocks because the state police had all the highways blocked off and everything. She's in there asleep. Well, my cousin Mike gets on a four-wheeler, rides over there, looks in her window. She shines a flashlight in her window, and Grandma's sitting there, probably had her false teeth out there in the jar. But not even a bit worried. Not even a bit worried. And here we are, all flustered and carrying on, and it's like, she told, and that's been a great example to me. I don't always follow it, but a lot of times I think about it when, life is spinning around you, and a lot of times, it takes the storms to clear out the old brush. The Indians had a belief that the springtime in the mountains was like where it was like a woman giving birth. And that's the storm. It wasn't until that storm went through there and knocked out all that deadfall, knocked out all those dead limbs, those high winds come through there and clean all that out, that the new growth comes. As long as it's like, pruning tomatoes, as long as you don't keep pinching off those suckers, you're never going to have tomatoes. And I try to think about that whenever we're facing storms. And then you know, how many times do you go through something that where it's just like the most horrible thing you can imagine, and then 6 months later, it's like it happened to someone else. You know, but I think God lets us remember the good times, and then if nothing bad ever happened to us, how could we have empathy and help someone else? When I think about it, when I think of the things that I, just the small things I've been through in my life, and you think at the time, why do I have to go through this? And maybe 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, someone comes up and they're going through the exact same thing. And if I hadn't been through that, I couldn't tell that person. I'd have to say, well, this is how I heard it is. This is how I heard it is. But now I don't have to say that. I can say I've been there. I know. And this too. I remember one of my mom's favorite sayings from years. No matter how bad it gets, this too shall pass. I mean, she said that so many times. This too shall pass. And if I can take that to mind, and know that Brother Hardin talking about Jesus. I don't like to hear about suffering. That's not. I'm a sanguine choleric, and someone talking about suffering that's not on my comfort level. I don't like it. But when I heard Brother Hardin talk about Jesus was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, I've heard that scripture all my life, but I've never really put it into perspective. And the reason he had to go through that suffering is so he could totally relate to everything we go through, and that's everything we go through. And it's like, I think, well, Jesus didn't have a car note, or Jesus didn't have to worry about getting written up by his boss. But he had the equivalent emotion that he had to go through was no doubt just as bad to him, if not, or worse than what we have to go through on a daily basis. And then that's why, when Brother Smith started talking here a while back about, praying to God, praying to the Father, I thought I prayed to Jesus, and I always have, and I still do, but at the same time, I know that Jesus knows, and then all those songs start coming back to me, Jesus knows just what I need. He doesn't know because he heard it. He knows because he experienced it. And when we go, and now that I know that, it makes my relationship with him even that much more real when I know